Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, health, liberation, peace, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. February 3rd is the National Women Physicians Day, and I would like to feature Dr. Sophia Panetta Ochoa. We'll start with a clip from her YouTube channel, Dr. Sophia Panetta Ochoa, and then I'd like to share with you snippets of her previous interview with me, and it's really great because this was 2016, and here it is, 2026, 10 years. And thank you, Dr. Sophia Panetta Ochoa. Here she is.
As we know, many foods contain calcium other than milk, like leafy greens and many legumes and vegetables. That's something that I myself didn't fully grasp some time ago. Like many, I was under the erroneous assumption that calcium came exclusively from dairy products, which I now know could not be further from the truth. It appears that dairy is not only not necessary, but that it may actually be detrimental for our bones and health, not to mention the overall environmental devastation associated with the livestock industry. And in order to produce milk, like any mammal, dairy cows must be continuously impregnated year after year. This results in an excess of calves that the dairy industry cannot use. The calves are taken from their mothers, usually within hours of being born, which causes an immense suffering and distress to both the mother and her baby. The male calves will never produce milk, so they are often sold by the dairy industry farm for veal, where they are typically killed after a few weeks of confinement in crates so small that their muscles don't develop to keep them tender, and with diets low in iron to keep their muscles pink when eaten. The female calves are either used for the next generation of milk producers, or they suffer the same fate as their brothers if they are considered a surplus. And the dairy cows themselves are ultimately killed too when their milk production declines, which occurs at a fraction of their natural lifespans. The cruelty that is necessarily involved to obtain dairy is truly horrific, and it is completely unnecessary, which makes all of this suffering that the cows endure that much worse. And it's no different, by the way, for other animals like goats or sheep who are similarly used for their milk. Please consider these issues and abstain from consuming dairy products for your own health, for the environment, and for the animals. Thank you very much.
That was a snippet of her presentation, Is Dairy Good for Your Bones? Dr. Sophia Panetta Ochoa. Now I'd like to share with you snippets of my interview with Dr. Sophia Panetta Ochoa. We started out the interview with her in Houston, where she's based in Houston, Texas, and then she went on vacation back home to Guadalajara, Mexico.
And she still did the interview while she was on vacation.
So this was really great. So I'd like to share snippets of this interview, part one and part two. Thank you.
Sophia Panetta Ochoa is a practicing physician in Houston, Texas. Originally from Guadalajara, Mexico, Sophia completed medical school at Universidad de Guadalajara. Prior to relocating to the United States, she practiced at the emergency department of the Guadalajara County Hospital. Sophia completed her postgraduate medical training at the University of Tennessee, Le Bonheur Children's Medical Center in Memphis, and at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. She is also a former biochemistry professor at the University of Guadalajara's School of Medicine and School of Nursing, and is a member of the American Medical Association, as well as a diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology. In 2015, she co-founded Meet Your Future, seeking to make health-related nutritional information more accessible to the general public. She is also committed to raising awareness about the environment and ethical consequences of consuming animal products. Dr. Pineda, thank you so much for joining us again on Vegan Nation.
And thank you so much for having me here.
And I'd love to hear how your vacation is in Mexico.
Oh, it's going wonderful. Visiting family and everything's going fantastic. You know, I was very, very exhausted. So everything is going well here. I did go to eat at an all-vegan restaurant here in Guadalajara, which is actually delicious. It's called Lucuma. And there was a line to get into the restaurant, which is encouraging. You know, when I left Mexico, I was not vegan at the time. I don't think I was even familiar with the word vegan. Very positive things going on all around the world, including Mexico.
Wonderful. During our last conversation, there was a couple things that you said that I've been thinking a lot about, and it's really helped me, and I think it's very uplifting. One of them is that your use of the word vegan, and I think that's so powerful, and coming from you, a very well-respected physician and vegan activist. From what I learned from you, the dairy and egg industry has just as much of a detrimental effect on the environment and human health and animal suffering and pain and terror as all the other flesh industries.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah, eggs and dairy products, they are not only unnecessary for our health, but exactly the opposite. They are quite problematic for many, many aspects, from their cholesterol and saturated fat content to their animal protein composition of amino acids, which increases our IGF-1 hormone. So it's very problematic from a health standpoint. It's very also problematic from an ethical standpoint. The dairy cows produce milk when they are pregnant. So they have to be continuously impregnated to be producing milk for our consumption. And the byproduct is their baby calf. And so that's what supports the veal industry. And this is something that brings a great deal of pain for the mother and for the calf that ends up being discarded. But there's really just no ethical way, when you come to think about it, to consume animal products for human use, because every time we try to do that, it becomes a bad situation for the animal. We just can't do that, and it's also, from a health perspective, like I mentioned, not only unnecessary, but also highly, highly problematic for our health. So we just need to stay all together away from those products. Away from those products, and we need to shift to a plant-based vegan diet. And such an easy correction, too. Not expensive, not problematic, not difficult. We just stop eating animal products. Stop eating fish, stop eating dairy, stop eating eggs. Initially, because we're so used to it, we'll think, well, but what would I eat? But, you know, it just takes a very short amount of time to explore all of these delicious plant-based foods and grains and nuts and vegetables and fruits. I invite you to abstain from consuming animal foods, to go vegan, to follow a plant-based vegan diet, that it's going to help you. And you can do it. And a lot of people are doing it. And nothing bad is going to come out of it. Only good things are going to come out of it. And I invite you to do it all the way, to go vegan. Just go for going plant-based vegan. There's no need to only do it the right thing on Mondays or on Fridays. You know, we just need to do it all the way. And it's going to help, like I said, the environment, your health, and billions of animals that are slaughtered completely, needlessly, and unnecessarily, filled with horror and pain, and something that we don't need to participate in. So please, if you're not doing so already, go vegan.
Gracias.
De nada.
What is your favorite vegan food that you have been eating in Guadalajara?
Let's see, that's a tough one. A lot of yummy vegan food. I guess I had actually, it's not really classical Mexican food, but it was a vegan Mexican pizza. And it was very tasty. It has vegan chorizo and vegan plant-based cheese, and a bunch of jalapenos and other vegetables. And so I guess right now I can say that that's one of my favorites.
Sounds awesome.
It is awesome.
Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you very much for having me and for all of your wonderful work and raising awareness for these very important issues.
When we as humans reduce someone else into an object to be used, someone who has a nervous system, pain receptors, family, failings, friends. Once we do that, that's the root cause of all the other human problems that we've been experiencing for centuries, because, of course, that attitude of oppression, elitism, privilege, exploitation then just boomerangs back. And so speaking of that with the ethics, could you please share some information of what's going on animal agriculture, including the organic, small scale, local, as well as your personal experience that has brought you into this awareness of compassion for all animals, all human animals and all other than human animals?
Sure. Yeah, no, those are very important points. And let me tell you something different what you were mentioning about the fact that some people say, well, I'll just eat a little bit. You know, I'll eat more vegetables, but I'll eat just a little bit of chicken or just a little bit of turkey here and there. You know, it's not going to kill me to eat. I do not recommend that. Well, for many things, obviously the ethical is extremely important. But right now, just to finish off the health aspect of it, let's say that you say, well, I'm going to eat 95% vegan and then 5% animal food. If you're still including it, then because we are humans and obviously we are not perfect, it's very easy to all of a sudden flip the percentages. Before you know it, you're eating 50-50. Before you know it, you're eating 90 of the other and 10% right. of the other. So from a health perspective, it's just best to do not touch them. Do not touch them. We do not need them. And there's no need for you to eat any of them. We've got protein. Everybody's aware now that we can find protein in the plant foods. It is not an issue whatsoever. I've been to a slaughterhouse, and it doesn't matter whether the animal was raised in a local organic farm or in a factory farm. At the end, the slaughterhouse is still going to be the same, and you cannot kindly turn a living, feeling animal into food. It's just impossible to do without causing immense suffering and pain and terror to the animal. It's just impossible. You cannot do that.
It's time to take a break. We're joined by Dr. Sophia Pineda Ochoa, a physician in Houston, Texas, who is also the co-founder and president of Meet Your Future, a vegan education nonprofit and website. Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts, and we're celebrating National Women Physicians Day, February 3rd. And I'm celebrating with Dr. Sophia Pineda Ochoa. And I had an interview with Dr. Sophia Pineda Ochoa in 2016, and here it is, 2026, as we continue on with the Vegan Evolution Revolution. Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow. We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Sophia Pineda Ochoa via Skype in Houston, Texas, president of Meet Your Future, a vegan education site for health, the environment, and ethics.
And I have been at a small slaughterhouse that processed farm-raised animals, you know, like a small scale. And oh my goodness, Marlon. And the thing that impressed me, obviously, it was a terrible, terrible experience for me. And the only reason why I did it is because they gave me access. It was a general manager of a friend who said, if you don't say where it is, you know, we'll let you film. And I thought it was a kind of unique situation where usually people have to be like undercover and stuff to get to film that horrible things. So I did it just because I wanted to raise awareness of these things. But you know what, it's like a crime scene. These animals fight for their lives until the very end. It's not like a painless, easy, quick death for none of them is what I saw. They know what's happening. They don't want to walk from the holding areas. to the place where they're going to get killed. They smell the blood. They're all terrified. They're trying to not go in there. They have to be kicking them and prodding them with electric things just to push them in there. It's a horror show. It's a horror show no matter where it came from, no matter how organic or grass they were fed. And it's also very, very violent because, do you remember, Marlene, the representative Gabrielle Gifford?
Yes.
She was shot in the head. I like to use that as an example just so people understand that even a shot in the head doesn't mean like a quick and painless death. This particular representative, she was shot in the head while she was giving a speech. The bullet came through one side of the head, came out of the other, went through her head. She was actually treated right here in the Houston Medical Center. And she's fine now. Fortunately, she recovered really, really well. She moved. You wouldn't even think that she was shot in the head. So what I'm trying to get to is the fact that a lesion in the central nervous system doesn't equal instant death. It does not. It does not. And from what I saw, the animals are, like, injured. It's always a rush. But in particular, the cows was what very, very much impressed me. These animals, they were injured. They were completely alive, and they were completely conscious. They hang them by one of the legs. Then the machine kind of pulls up the shackle that she's hanged from. And then they start even pulling out their skin. They cut out the three other legs. I mean, it is just something that is unimaginable and that we really do not want to be a part of. We don't want to support this horrible, horrible industry. I mean, it's just like hell on earth. You know, I remember the day that I went to the slaughterhouse. I remember when I left the slaughterhouse. The slaughterhouse was in a small town, and I remember there were trees and birds all over, and everything looked so peaceful, and everything looked so calm and so pretty. And I just couldn't believe that at the same time, these crime scenes were going on. Even though I was just filming there, I felt so even guilty. The animals look out to the people around the room, like, for help. They're just, like, staring at the other people. They're, like, pleading, imploring. I mean, these animals do not want to die. And the situation is, this is such a horrible thing. And what makes it so much worse is that it's completely unnecessary. There is no controversy about the fact that we do not need animal food for our health. There's absolutely no controversy. We do not need dairy products for our bones. There's calcium in all of these plant foods. We do not need protein to come from bacon or from chicken. There's more protein per calorie in broccoli than in beef. So it's so unnecessary that it really makes it that much more heinous. It's the crime. You know, it really makes it that much more terrible. And so I mentioned the cows, the pigs too, they're confined in gestation crates for a large part of their life. But even, like I said, even if they're roaming free, the slaughter moment, these animals do not want to die. And it's violent, and the animals are pleading for help. When it comes to the pigs, they submerge them in hot water to remove their hair. And it is sometimes there where they die, and the same thing happens with chickens. Obviously, the factory farming process is terrible, but even if they were raised in your own backyard and you cared for them, you know, at the time of slaughter, it's violent. They go through some, like, circulating blades when it comes to the chickens. It's like going through a blender. I mean, it's not going to go necessarily right at your big vessel that's going to kill you quickly and instantly, right? It can injure them non-lethally, and many of them are still in pain and bleeding when they get submerged in scalding hot water to defeather them. So no matter how you look at it, I mean, it's a big, violent thing that is completely unnecessary and that we don't need to be part of at all, not even a little bit. So we really need to do a global transition. That's why I'm so happy that you have a show that's promoting this information.
Thank you.
The fact of the matter is that if I'm paying for animal food at a grocery store or at a nice restaurant, even if I'm not directly killing the animal, I am morally responsible because I'm paying people eventually to do this dirty work for me. I used to work at a forensic facility here in Houston, so we saw people who were on parole and probation. So everyone had a legal background and legal charges. And I'm not a complete expert in our legal system, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that if I hire somebody to kill on my behalf, according to our legal system, even if I don't commit the murder, I'm still going to be held responsible for the murder. And when it comes to animals, even though it's so ubiquitous and so normal, notwithstanding the psychological difference, the obvious psychological difference, we're still kind of morally responsible. We don't need any part of it. Not a little bit, not from a local farm, not organic. Even if it was completely organic, it's not necessary. And it is so harmful for our earth, and it is so harmful for the animals, that really all you need to know is that you don't need it. You are healthy without it. The longest time after I went to the slaughterhouse, in the morning when I would wake up, I would remember like the cows staring at me, like, you know, and it's something that to this day, this also motivates me a lot. So I always talk about the ethical stuff, the environmental stuff. I have doctors who tell me I'm silly for doing that. I don't care. They tell me it takes away your credibility. I tell them, no, it doesn't. And it would be disingenuous if I didn't say these very important things, because they're important. You know, I've had doctors who tell me, do not say anything about the animals. Even use the V word. The V word. They don't even want to say vegan. They feel like it takes away credibility, but that's just nonsense. That doesn't give you credibility. I mean, I personally did 10 years of medical training, so I would hope that have compassion, you know, like...
Right.
You're supposed to have compassion, so... Plant-based vegan, just say it. I mean, just plant-based people, some of them, they don't even know what that means, you know. Plant-based vegan. That's plant-based, like, what, is that just lettuce? Is that, what is that? You know, I always use the word.
Yeah.
It's important, and it's a rational, it's a smart thing to do from many things. So there's no need to be apologetic about it or to not say it, to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so perplexing to me. Why, other than just that old paradigm, which is now obsolete, and we are shifting, like you're saying, we're shifting into a new paradigm, that this old paradigm of separate interests, of, well, as if compassion for any other species besides dogs, cats, and horses is somehow unprofessional, that makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. It makes no sense. Like I said, if you feel animals have any kind of moral value, then that's an instant vegan. There's no way around it. It just makes sense. There's nothing crazy. There's nothing abnormal. There's nothing extreme about looking around us and looking at the evidence and making a fact-based approach and doing a rational decision with that. It's just common sense and...
And necessary.
It is necessary, and I think the opposite is what is crazy. Destroying the planet, destroying these animals, killing them in the way they get killed. I mean, like I said, there's no way of killing them nicely. So that's the crazy part to me, you know? I was part of it for the longest time. I just didn't think about it. I just wasn't aware and didn't even think about it, because we live in a society where animal foods are ubiquitous and animal products are everywhere. There's a normality to it, but so you don't even think about it. But once you do, it becomes very clear that we're living in a bit of a delusional state as a society. I think a lot of people who are very knowledgeable on many things are just not aware of some important information. So I do want to raise that awareness, and that's why we founded this little educational nonprofit, Meet Your Future, spelled M-E-A-T, meetyourfuture.com. And we try to dispel some of the major myths about health issues and bring awareness to also the very important environmental issues that we shouldn't ignore.
And we're coming to a close in the interview. And do you have any other additional messages that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'm always happy to help, provide information and provide resources and anything that I can do to help. Thank you for doing your show and for touching on these very important issues. I very much appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Marvin.
Thank you. That was a recording of snippets of my previous interviews with Dr. Sophia Panetta Ochoa. For this 2026 broadcast, I included some inserts of music, and I included Cho Beat, Una Sola Voz, within the section where I relayed Dr. Sophia Panetta Ochoa's biography.
Dr. Panetta has joined us via Skype in Houston, Texas.
That recording was a snippet of my interview with Sophia, Dr. Sophia Panetta Ochoa, in 2016. And here we are, 10 years later, still carrying on creating love and peace on earth.
To generate love and put it out into the world. Our job is to generate love and put it out into the world. Do you wish that everyone everywhere could be happy, safe, healthy, and free? That's called loving kindness.
A big shout out to all the vegan women physicians on National Women's Physicians Day, February 3rd. This song is Generate Love by Charity and the Jam Band. Much thanks to Charity and her band, and also to Keith Berger. We heard his instrumental guitar during the break and at the beginning of the show. And much thanks to all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a lovely, peaceful day of freedom, health, and peace.